Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. It's that time too. Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt, joining us on the phone to answer all your employment questions. If you have any, feel free to text in right now, 10-800 or call in. That's the best way to jump the queue and get your question answered the best way. Give us a call right now. Any employment questions, 519-792-2559. Howard, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Dan, thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. So I'm not sure. My producer, I think, emailed you a story that I was looking at this morning. I thought it was really interesting about at least two Manitobans who are facing some professional consequences. They attended an anti-mask rally in Winnipeg, and one of them, I believe, was a president of a chiropractor company, and the company said, hey, this is not in line. He broke the health regulations, and we're asking you submit a letter of resignation, which he did. I guess it asked the bigger question, how interested should employers be in their employees' after-hours activities?
Aspects of this. First of all, if someone is in a public position, like the head of the Chiropractors Association of the province, they're essentially in a public position. They reflect the brand of that province. I mean, that's just a fact. And therefore, if they publicly do something that is embarrassing to their organization, is embarrassing to their employer, they could be fired for that and fired for cause if it's serious enough. Now, if they're violating public health regulations, I mean, that is the kind of thing, especially with a health profession like chiropractic, that would be serious enough to call for someone's resignation. The other person's a bus driver, because I was sent the story. And
oh, good, yeah.
I don't think it's a matter of embarrassing the Manitoba, Winnipeg bus line, because the person's not in a public position anyway. And it's not that kind of activity that would embarrass the brand of the bus company. But
right.
There's a second issue here. If they're at a rally in violation of public health orders in the middle of a pandemic, and then they come and do their job, they're going to infect attendees in the bus line. They're going to infect other bus drivers. They're going to affect whoever the members of the public going onto their bus. And they, in other words, create a danger in the workplace, and that could be cause for discharge.
Mm. So these two discharges here, the one was a resignation, they were in the right to discharge these two people.
I think that's right. From a little bit of information I have.
Right, yeah, not a whole lot to go on, but absolutely. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting topic, just how much say, I mean, can you be fired for going to something which contravenes public health orders? And I guess the short answer would be yes, I guess.
Absolutely.
This is a question we just...
Their employees going out in big rallies or even in having... I have one client that's fired employees because they had a little party for their staff at their home.
Oh, wow.
Beyond the amount allowed. And then one person got COVID. But even if the hen got COVID, it might not have been cause for discharge, but it would have been disciplinary.
Wow. And they did get fired.
They got fired.
Wow. And it stood. It held up.
Well, they're contesting, and I think my client will win. I think I'll win the case.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. We just got texted this question to us at 10-800. This person said, is someone eligible to collect unemployment after moving to different provinces? Worked for 23 years, never before collected unemployment, moving for family reasons, hoping to find work, but just in case, can this person still collect unemployment?
Well, look, I've never looked into this, but
okay.
EI is federal legislation, so unless there's something in the EI Act requiring you to stay in the same location, I've never heard that there is, then yes, they'll collect unemployment.
Okay, good to know for that person. This one actually got emailed to me, and I thought this is interesting. They didn't want to call in because they were worried about being named or recognized. But this person writes, the owner of my workplace is very religious, and I don't care. Insists Christian music be piped in. I don't care. At work, we have a bulletin board. We are allowed to put up approved flyers if we have an event we'd like to make our office aware of. Usually it's bake sales, charities we support. The owner posted a flyer about bringing back traditional marriage, that it's between a man and a woman. I took it down and tossed it. It was replaced. I have not made a formal complaint, but I feel this is homophobic. We have at least one lesbian employee that I know of, and I know it bothers her. Does he have a right to put this kind of material up in the workplace on the public bulletin board?
It's a little bit like putting up some poster in your company bulletin board saying that only white people are good citizens.
Right.
It's obviously offensive to everybody who's not white. It's frankly offensive to people who are white, too. But,
right.
but
yeah.
it's in the
yeah.
same legal genre as that, because the Human Rights Code protects discrimination based on race. It also protects discrimination based on gender, which has been interpreted to include same-sex gender. So it is illegal what the employer is posting.
So this person made a complaint. It is not. So that is inappropriate. It should be taken down.
Yes, it should be taken down. And an employee could file a complaint to the Human Rights Tribunal that would, or the commission that would intervene in a situation
okay.
like that.
So in this case, so this employee should probably talk to HR and say, hey, you know what, can you just let them know there's an anonymous complaint and get that down? It shouldn't be there. That would probably be the best course of action for now.
Or write an anonymous complaint themselves to the company president and say, this is a violation of the Human Rights Code. There will be a complaint filed if it's not taken down permanently.
Okay, perfect. Hope that helps out that texter there. Thank you for that. This person, me personally, I couldn't get past the piped in Christian music for me. That would be enough right there if I had a complaint. I'm kidding. This person writes, I am a full-time employee. I would like to go to part-time. Can my employer deny that request and dismiss me entirely? They don't want to work full-time anymore.
Absolutely, they can. Look, you have a job. And you've heard me talk about constructive dismissal. It goes both ways. If an employer went to a full-time employee and so you're now working part-time, that would be constructive dismissal. The employer has the deal with that employee, which is a full-time employment. They can't, you know, neither side can unilaterally change it. The employer can't unilaterally knock someone down from full-time to part-time. That would be constructive dismissal. The employee can't say, ha, I'm not going to work that full-time job. I insist upon a part-time job. That's called a resignation.
Hmm. And that would just be, well, this is the job you have. Take it or see you later.
Exactly.
Okay. We're on the phone right now with Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt. If you have a question, give me a ring, 519-792-2559. We'll return with your calls and texts. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show. And welcome back. We're joined on the phone right now with Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt. If you have a call for Howard, something about work, give us a call, 519-792-2559 or text 10-800. And we got a text in while we were on break right there. This person writes to Howard, if the person is on sick benefit, unemployment runs out and then comes back to work, even though he doesn't have a doctor's note, does that make him liable for anything? It sounds like we might need some more information on that one, but
does that make the employer liable for anything if they come back without a doctor's note?
Yes, I think that's what they're asking.
Well, I guess it depends on the nature of the illness. For example, it happens every day, doesn't it? An employee takes a couple of days off work, and then they say they're right. feeling better now, and they come back to work. The employer doesn't insist on a doctor's note, so I'm not sure what the context is and why they would insist on a doctor's note. I'm presuming it was an elongated illness, but even at that, once the employer declares himself capable of working, I'm not sure why the employer would be second-guessing them. But again, maybe there's something specific to these facts, as you say.
Right. We need a call in. So text, if you can call in, that'd be better to clarify that. Sandra is on the line. Sandra, thanks for calling. Your question for Howard this morning.
My question is this. I've been employed with my employer for 19 years. My company has recently been sold. However, they've been contributing to my RSP. And my question is, can the new owner withdraw that benefit from me or reduce it in any way?
Well, have you been offered a job with a new owner? Let's start with that.
Yes, it's the same job.
And it's the same everything except they're no longer paying a contribution to the RRSP.
It's been kind of thrown around. It's been put out there. It's not a definite yet, but I was just wondering, can they do that?
If it's a big enough drop in income overall, you could refuse the new job. If it's not a big enough drop in income, I mean like 15% or more, you can't refuse the new job. You could sue your old employer for the difference for a period of number of months. I don't know if it'd be worth it. I'm not sure how much they contribute a year to your RRSP. But basically, if the new employer has to offer you a substantially similar job, if the only difference is an RRSP contribution, I would think that would be substantially similar. So the answer is they can. Look, they can offer you any job they want. The question is whether you have an obligation to accept it. And if that's the only difference, then yes, you'd have an obligation to accept it. That's the real question.
Well, no, I guess my question, I'm confused now, because my question is that keeping the same job, it's just that can they, like, say I get 5 weeks vacation, can the new owner now say you're only getting four under our...
Look, they can offer you any job they want. They can offer you 2 weeks vacation. They can offer you half the salary. The question isn't what they can do. It's a new company. It's a new employer. They don't have to hire you at all. If they hire you, they can hire you on any terms they like. So, yes, they can offer you 2 weeks vacation, 4 weeks vacation, 10 weeks vacation, RSP contribution, no RSP contribution. You've got the question in reverse. The question you should be asking isn't whether they can offer you X, Y, or Z. It's whether you have to take it. That's
right.
The question. So, yes, they can offer you less vacation. They can offer you less RSP or no RSP contribution. The question relevant is whether you have to take that job, whether you can say this is not a comparable job. I don't have to take it. I would think of the only differences are 5 weeks versus 4 weeks vacation and some contribution to your RSP. The answer is yes, you have to take the job. And you have no, okay. And you would never have a remedy against a new employer, which doesn't have to hire you at all. Your remedy might be against the old employer for firing you, and not you're not getting a comparable job in, with the next employer.
Okay, I see. Okay. Mm. Okay.
That helps. Thank you, Sandra, for your call this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's an interesting one. We had a few calls about that last week as well, about a new owner taking over the business and how much do they have to respect the terms of the former employer. And really, they don't have to respect any of them, I guess, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Right, Howard?
Don't respect any of them. The question's in reverse. You think of it differently. Your recourse of the employee is not against a new employer, which has no obligation to hire them whatsoever. The obligation is that of the old employer who just fired them. And it is a firing when you have a new job with a new employer and they sell the business. The question is whether the employee has to mitigate by taking a job with a new employer if it's offered to them. And if it's substantially comparable, they do have to mitigate by taking the job. If it's not comparable, they can say no and sue the old employer for wrongful dismissal, which is why the old employer almost always guarantees the new employer offers comparable jobs so they won't get sued.
Wow. That's why. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people, I never realized that either, that when a business changes ownership like that, it's technically a firing on part of the old employer. I had no idea.
Correct. Wow. Exactly. Unless it's a share sale, in which case it's really the same company.
Right. Okay, that is good to know. Definitely good information. This person writes, can an employer who terminated me contact my current employer and disclose my termination and reason?
Well, there's nothing preventing them from doing it. If it's truthful, it's not libelous. It's nasty, so, for sure.
Right, if it's right.
I mean,
so
if
my employer said, go on, sorry.
I mean, it's not libelous. You could argue the purpose of it is to get the employee fired from the new job. And
right.
If so, you might be able to sue them for intentional interference with contractual relations. But let's assume it wasn't the way it was suggested in the text, but it was the other way around. The new employer called the old employer and said, as some of my employer clients do, you know, there's something funny about this person. I've done this myself and my lawyers in my law firm that I've been worried about over the years. I've called the old employer and said, did anything ever happen? Was there anything funny about this employee? Anything? Do you have any absenteeism issues, et cetera? And I found out the truth. I said, oh my goodness, well, the pattern is continuing. And that may be really what's going on. And all this employee knows is the employers are talking. They don't know who called who first. But it sounds to me more likely it's a new employer calling the old employer because they have some concerns about that employee's behavior.
Right. And as long as it's true, the issues the old employer brings up, there's nothing that's completely within the rights.
Correct. Now, if the old employer maliciously does contact the new employer for the purpose of trying to get them terminated, destroying their reputation, the person may have an action. It may be an action for libel if it's untrue, or slander to be more specific, or it may be an action for intentional interference with economic relations.
Okay, Howard, that's all the time we have. I appreciate you, as always, coming on, and we will talk to you next week.
Dan, thanks as always. Bye.